ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD to the program. TD, long time no see. Hope you enjoyed the Preds game last night. How we doing?
Yeah, no, doing well. It was a good opportunity to see the Preds. Hope everybody else had a good time. I know it was a rough outing, but hey, it was good to be in the building.
Yep, no doubt about that. TD, we've been talking about this Titans-Colts matchup. To me, this is a game where the Titans offense really needs to show significant improvement. And that's, you know, a couple reasons. Number one, they've had the bye week. They've had some time to self-scout. I'm interested to see what sort of adjustments Brian Callahan makes. Number two, the Colts defense is not very good. I mean, they've been shelled on the ground all year. They got torched by Trevor Lawrence last week. So from the offensive standpoint of the Titans, what do you make of this matchup for them against the Colts?
Yeah, no, it should be a good opportunity to get the running game going. And with that, you marry it to the passing game, get those play-action passes to give Will Levis the big windows if he plays. He probably will. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good opportunity for them to get things going. And they need it desperately.
TD, we've been talking about, obviously, Levis, but also the Brian Callahan aspect of it. You know, this is this is his first opportunity as a head coach, as a play caller, but also this is a quarterback he made no bones about it. I mean, offseason, excited to get a chance to work with Levis, excited about his talent and how he goes about his business. How important is the rest of this season for him in terms of, and I'm not talking about like his job or anything like that, but just the fact that, you know, right now his history with QBs is obviously Manning, Stafford, Burrow, and Burrow more like his guy, right, that he was developing. But how important is this to him to get Levis going just in terms of, you know, his own career as a coach? I mean, like, because these guys get jobs because of what they do with quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, Levis was supposed to be the next, you know, feather in his cap, right, the next guy that he worked with and brought along. And it's really important because I believe that a big reason why he was brought here was just that, his ability to develop quarterbacks. And obviously Levis is the guy that they had in mind. So it's huge. I think there's still time. And it's just, people have to understand that there's a lot that has to be adjusted, you know, on Levis's part and Callahan's part. Like it's a relationship where there's compromise, there's give and take. They have different ideas on how the position is played and what they're going to do. So it's just going to be a while for that to come along. But in the meantime, you can't have those mistakes, you know, that they've had, you know, in the first couple of games. The last two mistakes, I mean, that's kind of cost of doing business, more specifically the one against the Dolphins. But, you know, those are going to come along, but you have to minimize it.
So, TD, let's say Turon Davenport is calling plays for the Titans this week. How do you go about making sure that Calvin Ridley certainly is much more involved than he's been the last 2 weeks, but is involved to the point where, you know, he is out there and he's the playmaker that you envisioned that he would be in this offense?
Yeah, I'm working jet sweeps. I'm working smoke screens. I'm working those routes where, you know, those plays where he is the option, right? And so that way it can't be like, okay, well, you know, the defense caused me to go away from this read and go to this read. Like, that's what I'm doing early in the game, just finding ways to get him the ball quickly. And obviously you're not forcing it, but, you know, when the time is right, you're calling those plays, and that's the best way to do it.
By the way, did Ridley get pissed at Kuharski yesterday? Where's the video of this? What, were you there, TD? I got to get information on this.
Yeah, no, it was – I mean, listen, you know, some guys don't like when you bring up their contract, and I mean, I understand what Kuharski was doing, right? You know, he was trying to tell him like, hey, you know, shouldn't you be getting more targets and catches? And it was just, yeah. I mean, there's video. I didn't bother to post it because I just didn't deem it necessary. And yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate, but, you know, because Ridley has been really good with the media after a little bit of a rough start, but hopefully, you know, he comes back around and it continues.
Yeah, hopefully Kaharski doesn't ruin it for everybody. get the NFL media out of the locker room here sooner than later.
There is that.
Yeah.
Whole thing. By the way,
I
do want to ask you about that. That whole thing right now. I mean, where do you think that's going?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. There hasn't really been anything to it here. I just find it interesting, you know, because you get a lot of fans who are like, oh, well, you know, they shouldn't be in the media. It's weird. But then what they don't understand is a lot of the very stories that they really like reading are because of relationships that have developed in the media. Like, we don't just all of a sudden, you know, go to Huntsville, Alabama with Calvin Ridley and see him in his hometown. Like, that's something that develops over time. It's a relationship that's built from being in the locker room and talking to those players over time. So I think it's absolutely necessary. And guys, I don't know if you saw the Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce on the Heights, but Jason Kelce, he laid it out pretty well. It's not like we are going up to them while they're naked and trying to video them and stuff like that. There's a respect factor. Obviously, there's always a few bad apples, but, you know, it's not as drastic as some people are making it out to be.
So, TD, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, we'll see what his status and availability looks like for the Colts game coming up on Sunday. But the chance to get him back out there and marry that with what we saw from Tavondre Sweat a week ago against Miami, how limiting do you think this injury could be for Jeffrey Simmons? Do you think the 2 weeks of rest makes a significant difference for him in terms of his effectiveness? What kind of your expectations for Simmons moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, he said rest would help it. Like, that was kind of the major thing. And I don't know that he's going to have the strength that he typically has. So that's going to be could be a problem, right? Because, you know, he's a guy that likes to bull rush and a guy that uses a lot of power in his hands. So we'll see there. But I think just his presence, right, and just the offensive line knowing that they have to double him at times, that's going to help, obviously, you know, Tavondre Sweat. It's going to help Harold Landry, you know, get his sacks. It's going to help Arden Key, you know, Sebastian Joseph Day. It's his presence alone is going to be good for them. So we'll see. But I don't think he's going to be at full power and full ability to impact the game.
Let's go to the Titans offensive line, TD. I know Stilley earlier cited, like, I don't know, it was like Pollard's when he tried to make his first move or something, you know, like some sort of deeper stat that indicated not a great run blocking game. But I still feel like overall, the last time out, it was definitely you saw some progress collectively from the offensive line. I mean, I think Petit Frere went from, oh my gosh, I don't know if you can play this guy anymore, to, okay, I mean, if he gave you that week after week, you could probably live with it. Where do you think they are? Is that a building block going into this game, the way they performed last game?
Yeah, it's definitely a building block. You know, it was very clear that they wanted to run the ball, and they did it, right, despite it being known that that's what they wanted to do. So I think that was good. You know, this whole thing, they could get better play out of the right tackle, but, I mean, like, we just have too much of a tendency to say, okay, this one reason is the reason why everything's not working. There's a combination of things, right? Like, it's not just the right tackle. You know, it's just assorted issues. But, I mean, if you look at the run game, I know Tony Pollard has been, you know, hit behind the line of scrimmage, et cetera, a lot. But you look at, you know, when they work that pin and pull, right, and they have J.C. Latham blocked down and go up to the second level, and you got Dylan Raiders pulling. I mean, that has been pretty successful for them. They've had, I would say, three of their four runs of 20 yards or more have come off of that. So that's something that they'll continue to work in. I mean, it's not as bad just on the right tackle as it's made out to be.
So, TD, on you bring up Latham there. You know, he had some rough moments in the first game against Chicago, and really ever since then, by pretty much every metric, he's been rock solid. How impressed are you that he's been able to adjust and play this well at the NFL level this quickly?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly something that I'm not going to say I expected it because it is impressive. But, I mean, you look at just the trajectory he's had since high school, right? Everywhere he's gone, you know, they have raved about how coachable he is. So you have that. And then just thinking about, you know, how he is such a sponge and the extra work that he does, it's no true surprise that he's done that. But it is impressive just being able to not to come to the same move twice, to make the same mistake twice. And he's actually a strength on that offensive line. I would venture to say he's their best lineman right now.
Do you feel like Titans have a better chance this week because Anthony Richardson's playing, TD?
I mean, people will say that. I don't, because I feel like you have to go plus one, you know, at somewhere, you know, at the defense to account for his ability to run. You got Alec Pierce, who's excelling, and, you know, Anthony Richardson likes to throw the ball down the field. So I don't think so. I think it's just you got to prepare differently when you're going against him than going against Flacco. And both guys, they push the ball down the field, though.
All right, TD, excitement level of your New York Mets who have advanced to the championship league series. Where are we at?
Oh, yeah. No, I listen, Jose Reyes, I keep doing that. You know, I'm having flashbacks. Frankie Lindor, I keep doing that. But, no, when Frankie hit the grand slam, man, I after standing up and not saying anything, I sat down, opened up the laptop, and I went. And, yeah, I'll be there game three on Wednesday at Citi Field. I couldn't not do it. So that's my excitement level. I went and spent some money to go see my guys, man. I have to do it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
The dream, awesome. For the moment at least, of the Tigers-Mets World Series between Rex Road and TD is still alive at the moment. Still alive.
Yeah. If it happens, hey, I'm not gonna talk to you. So don't talk to me on that Friday. No, I'm kidding.
It's me against you and Willie.
Oh yeah, no doubt about that. Well, TD, have a great time in New York. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Enjoy the game this Sunday here at Nissan Stadium, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Colts. React to what TD had to say there as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.